to build on a foundation. Make sure you know what you know and make sure it's the truth, because if you're going to build something, build it on a strong foundation. And one of the things we're supposed to learn, it says also in the Scriptures, that all the Old Testament is given from us, or is given to us. All the Old Testament is given to us so that we can learn from it and we won't make the same mistakes those people made. Even the New Testament now is given to us so that we can learn from it and we don't make the same mistakes those people made. But most people, they have to learn the hard way. I regret that, but that's just the way it is. Now we're going to have a little moment of story time from Doyle about employees and people that I have worked with. Grumpy, 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 grumpy. I'll sing. Grumpy, 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 gripe, gripe, gripe. Moan and groan. And I mean, even if good stuff is coming their way, they'd say things like, well, that ain't good enough. That's not enough. Or even if it was something really good, they'd just say, something good happens. That's just a harbinger of something terrible that's going to happen. Gripe, moan, groan, and complain. Now, I don't mind listening to some of it, but after a while, I learned to say, I don't want to hear it. I've had enough of this. You've done nothing but groan and complain. One of them that I remember, it was their day off. They had several days off in a row, and the person who was working got sick. So they were called up, and we said, would you mind coming in? Now, before you start trying to put names to it, don't forget, I've worked bus barns, I've worked postal, I've worked telephones, I've also worked at Flora, churched at Flora, Sisney at Flora. Been around a lot, done a lot of stuff, so don't try to think you can figure out who it is, but they called them up and said, hey, can you come in to work? And the person said, it's my day off, I ain't going to work, boo-hoo, let them go to work anyway, blah, blah, blah. And I said, don't be that way. And they said, grump, grump, grump. Okay, then come in. That's fine. It was their choice. It was their day off. It wasn't too long after that, they came in and they said, oh, I'm so sick. And I said, put a cork in it. Don't want to hear it. Keep working. I told you, don't do that. Don't stand around and grunt, because what goes around comes around. The seeds you sow is what you're going to reap. And I said that repeatedly. Make sure you watch out what you say and do, because it will bite you. After they booed and hooed a while, I finally got tired of that too, and I said, all right, just go home. Just go. By the way, I'm not a nice person. If you guys think I am not. I had a few people come in slightly hungover. And I worked in a meat shop that had lots of metal pans. It's amazing how many pans you drop in one day when somebody's hungover. And they just looked at me and I said, you're the one with the headache. I feel fine. Oh, by the way, pick that up and wash it. Yeah, you know, and guess what? Just taking it another step farther, when I say I don't like it, I want you to know God doesn't want to listen to it either. God does not want to hear this. I'm going to read a passage to you out of Exodus. And this is where we're supposed to learn from what they did and what happened and pick it up and not make the same mistakes. Exodus chapter 15, verse 23 through 27. 23 through 26. When they came to Marah, that's what it was talking about in Psalm, the same words. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah because they were bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. Guess what the word Marah means? Bitter. Okay, so they came to bitter. They couldn't drink the waters of bitter, for they were bitter. Therefore, the place was called bitter. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and a regulations, and there he tested them. He said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what's right in his sight, he will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your God. So all that happened is they came to this place. When they got there, after they had already exited Egypt, they're starting their wilderness journey. They're headed toward the promised land. They got to this place and the water was bitter. And they cried, moaned, groaned, complained. And they said, what are we going to do? The water's terrible here. And Moses goes, God, you know, the waters are bad. What are we going to do? And the people's over there grumbling, we're thirsty. Why did you bring us out here? And we're thirsty. Moan. And God said, okay, there's this wood over here. Take the wood, throw it into the water. And the water became sweet. And then after that happened, that next verse is the amazing part. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters. Now the waters at Marah was made sweet so they could drink those, but God always does over and above. So the next place they went to had 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. Date palm trees, the dates on a palm tree were and still are like candy to those people. You go over there and I will testify to the fact that the dates I had over there was better than any date I had here. And it's not because I'm referring to the little brown dates. They have them over there and they are wonderful. It's just like eating candy. I was never a big fan of the date thing, you know, but they started passing these out. So I tried them because you're over there, you know, you gotta eat what the locals eat. They were marvelous. So God did over and above. Not only did He give them water that was sweet, He gave them 12 wells of water and 70 date palm trees to pick the dates off and eat them and pluck them just like candy. And He said, you listen to me and you do what I tell you and you'll have none of the diseases that are down there in Egypt. Well, the story goes on, of course. And they did not listen and they started griping, moaning, and complaining. And that's where we get that psalm from that I read, Psalm 95. And remember, it said this, for He is our God, and we are His people, of His pasture, and of the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways. Therefore I swore in my anger, truly, that they would not enter into my rest. It's the same situation. That psalm is referring to that place where they came for bitterness. And He said, you trust me and we'll take care of this. You trust me. God does not want to hear your griping, your moaning, your complaining, and your anger. God does not hear that. Grumping is not the same thing as prayer. Complaining is not going to replace faith in God and His mercy and His goodness. Walking around poor mouthing all the time, well, everything's just bad, nothing ever works out right for me, I know that looked good, but you know, something bad's happening. Poor mouthing is just going to cause poor harvesting for you. You poor mouth your life, you're going to have a poor life going. There is a company, a major company, and the name of it escapes me, but I saw the things that they was talking about. And this company would not hire people who did not smile at least 6 times during their interviews while they was talking to them. It didn't matter about their credentials. Once they said, yeah, we went to college, we had all this. If 6 times those people did not crack a smile, they weren't hired. You can't be grumpy. People who walk with a smile, have a bounce in their step, have a positive attitude, fare better in this world than people who don't. And that's what God's getting at. He's going, don't be grumpy. Remember that spring was bitter and He said, okay, over here's a tree. Jesus hung upon a tree. Cursed is he who hangs upon a tree. What that was is a picture. He's just saying, if you're in a bitter situation and you've got bitter waters to drink, turn around. There is the cross of Jesus Christ. Throw that into the bitterness situation and I will sweeten those waters for you. I will bring you through that situation. And the way God always works, always, 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 is He does over and above what we are able to think or to ask. If you have bitterness, grumping, complaining, put Christ into it, and then He hears your prayers, say, God, I ask that you put Christ in this bitterness. The things that are going on or the things that has gone on that is just like gall to me, I want you to enter into that and to sweeten that situation. God, I know that you said through your Holy Spirit that you would cause all things to work together for the good. Here is something, a bitter pill for me to swallow. Here's something really bitter, and I'm putting Jesus into it. And then you step back and you say, there it is. I trust you to do that. The cross, the wood was thrown into the bitter waters, and the waters became sweet. But later on, he took them, their next stop was 12 water wells and 70 fig trees that was basically handing out, dispensing candy to them for free. And this is the way God works. Sure, you can say, I've got problems and issues and I don't like it, God. That's the facts. Now, here's the faith fact. Jesus Christ has entered into it, and He says in His Word, all things will work together for the good of those that love the Lord. I was truly astounded at one time. I went to a visitation of somebody, a young person, who was killed in a wreck. And I got to the parents, and I've known them for years, and they're Christians. And I was just like, and that's just the way I was. I said, I don't know what to say to you. And that dad looked at me and he said, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. I don't get it either, but I do trust Him. And I was just stunned. I was amazed. I couldn't expect a father to stand there by the coffin of their child and hear him say that. But he goes, I'm trusting Him, and I know He'll get me through this, and I know that somehow, some way, someday, I'm going to see Him change it. He didn't say it was good that the child was killed. He says, but I'm going to see Him change what was so tragic and bitter that He's going to bring it and turn it around so that it will be something good will come out of it. My hat's off to that guy. And that's what Jesus and that's what the Holy Spirit was saying in the book of Exodus. Here's your chance. It was a bitter place for you. I have corrected that situation. You trust me and walk by faith and you follow my statutes and you follow what I require and I will lead you to an even better place, a promised land. But instead they chose to gripe, moan, and complain the rest of that time. And finally he said, I've had enough. I don't want to hear it no more. Your griping, your moaning, and your groaning is not going to cut it. Just wander around. I have this beautiful place prepared for you, but you're not going to get into it. Hebrews is the only place in the Bible, in the New Testament, where it says, work to enter into that rest. The rest of the time we're told, trust, walk by faith. But he's saying, put some effort in. Make some choices to say, God, I'm trusting you. And I work at this because it's not easy just to say, there it is, I trust you and walk away. He's saying, put some effort into trusting Christ. It's the only place that says, work to enter into His rest. What we want to do is get to that place that no matter what comes our way, and you've got to train for this early before it hits you. No matter what comes our way, God, I'm trusting you. This is bitter, but I trust you to get me through this. And God, I am now trusting you to not only get me through it, but to take me even to a better place. Take my family to a better place. Take this country to a better place. Take this church to a better place. God, I'm trusting you to take what's bitter and transform it because of what Jesus Christ did and how He entered into our lives and changed us and how He can change our situation. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I do thank You and praise You for the great things that You've done for us. Father, some of us are in situations that seem really bitter to us. And that is the reality of it. But we choose to ask Jesus, would You enter into that situation? First, enter into our hearts and give us the strength. We choose to trust You in the situation and ask that we would see, that we would see You transform that situation from something that's bitter to something that is, wow, look at what my God's done. And that gives us bragging rights for Jesus and all that He accomplished for us. Father, once again, thank You for that. And as we approach this table, thank You for what Jesus did on the tree that is cast into all bitter situations. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.